Good morning, everyone. How's everyone? Okay. We should be the happiest people on earth because we're not freezing our butts off out there. Hey, it's nice out there. So good morning, everyone. All right. Yeah, it's party time. I'm Jeff. All right. We're off to the races. So over the years, Kathy and I, we've been a part of something, groups actually involved with the church called small groups. Groups of people coming together, really, to get to know each other, to kind of process verbally our spiritual journeys. And we always said to just do life together. And that was a lot of what happened in those groups. You know, there's a lot of life that happened in between times that we come together. And sometimes people come in and they just share stuff on their mind, be working through stuff with our kids. There'd be tragedies, there'd be weddings, there'd be funerals, all kinds of different stuff. And, you know, we did a lot together, but probably one of the most memorable things that we did as a group over the years was something that we called highs and lows. It was a discussion. And I'd never done it before this one time, and one person in our group had, and he said, "Jeff, I think this would be really meaningful for the group. It'd be helpful." We'd already gotten to know each other quite well. So the assignment was to go around the room and to take turns, every person sharing one high and one low in their life. One of their best memories and one of the memories in their life that they'd love to forget. And so we said, that's what we want to do. And instantly, of course, eyes are rolling back in people's memory banks trying to think, wow, what would I share? And, you know, I was kind of laughing. I think everyone was kind of nervous and tension. And so they'd start joking, "Hey, I'll share yours. I already know what your high is or what your low is," or blah, blah, blah. We started, you know, kind of joking. Everyone always wanted to share their high first. No one wanted to really talk about their low too much. And then people started sharing. I remember one guy, big tattooed, muscular guy, shaved head, describing how he bawled like a baby when he watched his wife give birth to their first child. It had only happened, I think, a few months prior to that night. He said, "It was the happiest day of my life." That's what he said. We're just like, wow. You could just see him just radiating still from that experience. I remember feeling the intense joy as another guy shared about the day that he was able to buy his first house. It was probably his biggest high. He came from a very impoverished family. Parents never owned a house. He said the day when they handed over the keys, they were mine, and I walked into that house. And I looked at that place. I said, "This is mine." I mean, He talked about this experience and just the memories. And this, he said, the house wasn't nothing, but it was mine. As a group, we just sat and just smiled, cheered. As people told their stories, they shared about their wedding days, some of them, promotions, achievements they had done. One person talked about an international backpacking trip they had done. It's one of the highlights of their life. It's funny, as they told stories, their partners were often kind of clarifying details, correcting. That wasn't quite how it went down. And then they'd kind of interject, we'd laugh. But oh, the joy as people shared their highs. But then it shifted and they would start talking about their lows. I remember the gravity we felt in the room. As one guy shared about an addiction he had dealt with way back. And his experience of hitting rock bottom, that was his low. And that one had gravity. I mean, as he started talking, his girlfriend just started, like, crying like crazy. You knew that that scenario had some traction, some gravity there. The regret, the chaos, the financial craziness. Many of us didn't know the story, and we were just sitting there going, whoa. There's another woman who shared her low of losing her unborn full-term baby due to a chromosomal disorder. And the night she held that lifeless body, I had never seen her cry. They'd all seen me cry. You've seen me cry 100 times. I'm sorry if I unearth you by crying. It's just a crier. I'd never seen her cry, but she cried that night. We all did. As I'm sharing these stories, are there memories that come up in your mind of your own highs, your own lows? Remember that night, man, every time we did this, the swing of emotion from I can't stop smiling joy to this intense, deep sadness. Just something about the act of remembering, isn't there? Of just stopping and just going back into the memory banks of your mind and remembering some of these big moments of your lives. Isn't there? I was at a conference a number of years back. This is a long time ago now. I was at the Red and White Club, McMahon, listening to a guy named Dr. Alan Wohlfelt, one of the world's leading experts on the area of grieving. I was a young pastor. I had performed a number of funerals, and I was frustrated with how I was doing them. Because after it was all said and done, you just look at the family and you just had a feeling like what just went down here didn't help the way it should. I had heard about this Dr. Alan Wohlfelt, and I was really curious what he would have to say, how I can make this funeral better. It was interesting. Partway into the conference, he began talking about the power of telling stories from the past, sharing memories. In fact, and more I look back at that day with Dr. Wohlfelt, it was all about the power of being able to take those who were there back into the life of this one that passed away and to relive the memories and the moments, to tell the stories in vivid detail from all different angles. You got business people, get him in here. Tell what this guy was like at the work. You got a son? Come on, tell us what he was like as a dad. You got music, play his best. Play the music he loved to have on the radio. When he'd come in and turn on the stereo, when he comes home, let's have that music playing. He's got stuff, his favorite golf clubs no one used. Yeah, we want them right there on the stage. We want memory. We want to bring these people back into this person's life. He was just telling this. I was just like, wow. But he said it's so counterintuitive. He said, especially in this culture here in North America, because no one likes going to funerals. No one likes speaking at funerals. No one wants to do those things. And I'm sitting there going, actually, yeah, I don't really. The day of a funeral, I said goodbye to my stepfather about a year ago. A little less. And the day of that funeral came, and I didn't want to go. Because I knew what was coming. As that music plays, as the stories are told, as I'm sharing it, I mean, my heart feels like it's ripping open. Doesn't it? You're just like, oh, stop. And trying to swallow the tears down, right? I'm not going to go. And you're just sitting there, and you get that lump in your throat. And you're just like, oh, ow. Wow, every story. Ah, oh, yeah, I remember that. Video starts playing, going, oh, jeez, it's like he's here right now. But Wohlfelt says, something crazy happens. as you go through this process of remembering, it's like this healing starts moving in. And you walk out of that funeral spent, oh, like you just, like you need like a week off just to crumple in a corner. But something has happened inside. It's like closure has started happening. Some kind of healing. You know what I'm talking about. Has anyone been there? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. He said the power of remembering well. Oh, and I'm here to tell you this morning that remembering doesn't just serve a purpose in grieving. I think remembering well can play a powerful role in your spiritual journey. That's what my message is about this morning. It's remembering. It was about 2 years ago, maybe, give or take. I should have looked it up. Oh, I was sitting over coffee with a guy down in Kensington in a cafe. And he was relatively new to the church, maybe a couple years. He started asking me questions. How dare he? I was there to learn about his story. He says, tell me about the church. And you know what he inadvertently did? He asked me about one of my lows. It happened back around 2007, between 2007, 2010, give or take a year. That was a tough season. I'm referring to a time here at Friends Church where we transitioned some staff. One of my best friends stepped off the team, decided to resign and head into a career in business that he was passionate about. That triggered a number of different transitions. People that had been on the team for about 10 years. I mean, we had this dream team, and then all of a sudden people are like, you know what? Now that you think about it, maybe I'm ready for a change. I was just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We were right in the middle of also some big transition here at the church. We're changing some different things. Our spiritual journeys were on this, had kind of taken a hard left, and we're trying to sort it out in our minds. Our theology was in flux, and we were sharing openly about this journey, and it was wigging some people out. Along with the staff leaving, it just created huge turbulence, and it created a massive exodus. So here's this guy. He's just going, hey, tell me. I heard little bits and pieces about this transition. I'm like, I don't really want to tell that story. He says, well, and I didn't tell him that. But so I started recounting the story, and I was botching it. I could tell right away, man, I haven't really told this story many times. And as I'd start talking about something, he'd ask a question. Well, what about the staff? They were like, oh, yeah, gosh, that brings up. And so it would just throw me into another dark chapter, and I'm kind of stumbling along sharing this thing. He'd say, wow, that must have had an impact on finance. Oh, gee, I didn't even talk about that. Yeah. Some big donors were writing big checks at the time. They didn't like it, and they walked along with their money. Started telling that story. I mean, as I'm telling this story, I'm just like, oh. Remembered back to how insecure I was. I was just one of the team to becoming lead pastor. How incompetent I felt. Oh, I mean, it just brought back all this. And so he's sitting there, and he's like, you okay? I'm like, oh, I think I'm okay. I'm sorry. I just haven't really thought this much about that season. But then there came this moment where he began asking questions about what happened next. What happened after that? Like after these people left and whatever. When did things start to change? And I started remembering these, what I would call little miracles that happen along the way. Donor steps in. I remember one day walking into the office of a guy who had been supporting the church for a long time. And I wasn't sure. I thought maybe he's leaving too. And I was sweating bullets going, man, this could be bad. I remember looking at him going, what are you thinking? Do you see Friends Church in your future? Can you see what we're doing? Can you, you know, and I was And he said, I believe in what you're doing. Pulled out a checkbook. He went, I believe in you. Believe in your team. I believe in this vision. So here I am talking over coffee down in Kensington. I remember this story. I had totally forgotten. I'm like, oh, I remember that. And then I remembered a number of times as a staff meeting on a Wednesday going, and talking among the staff going, did you feel it on Sunday? We're not dealing with this toxic people who are saying, why are you changing this? Why are you doing? No, did you feel it? Man, there's excitement. Did you meet those people? There's people coming in. They're going, where have you guys been? And I remembered different seasons of that. It was just like something started happening over coffee with this guy. I walked out of that coffee shop that day. And I can't explain it. I had experienced a thin place for me. As I remembered some thin places from way back. Now, thin place meaning just those moments where you go, whoa, I think there's something going on here. I think God is in this moment. This is big. I started experiencing a thin place by looking back at some small thin places back then. And it's amazing since that time how many times I have brought it up again. This last year, pretty tough time in Alberta. Tough time even within the church here. The number of times I go, oh, remember? Back when? Be talking to the staff team, remember that? Remember that time when we were like, oh, gee, what are we going to do now? And that person came in. Remember that offering? Remember that? Remember those people? Oh, I just found myself every time I keep reflecting the way I did that afternoon down in Kensington. Something happens to me. I reflect on a past thin moment and something happens here. I just go, whoa. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever had these moments where you reflect back to something and something starts stirring inside of you and you go, oh, yeah. Yeah. This. Yeah. Thank you. Here's a sad thing. We can see so many of these chapters of our lives come and go. And they were loaded with thin places. They were loaded with these moments where you went, poof. But then they go. And life, in all its insanity, takes over. And they become very distant memories back there. You move, and at the time, you didn't realize how big it would be. And you go through something crazy in the process. Maybe you transition careers. Maybe you took on extra courses. Talking to a guy this morning, he's in the midst of doing a master's program right in the middle of working and being a father and being a husband. And this is a crazy time right now for him. People have done that back then, and now it's like life's moved on. It's just such a faint, distant memory. Some of you went through broken off engagements. Some of you had failed pregnancies. Some of you engaged in business ventures that went south. Or you took a risk on something and it went big. But life goes on, and you got bigger fish to fry now, and you forgot back to those moments. Some of you have gone through some crazy chapters, and when I talk about highs and lows, you got a litany of different ones that you could pull up if you thought hard. And actually, if you start thinking back, here's the crazy thing. Whether it was right in the middle of those things or just beyond them, if it's anything like what I've experienced, along with those highs and lows came some spiritual highs, spiritual lows. Oh. Brad said it this morning. It's amazing when you're going through a difficult time how much goes on in our spiritual journey, more so than when it's good times. But we go through these moments that are loaded with this learning, these epiphany, all this kind of stuff. And then we move on. And we leave it behind. And we miss, perhaps, the real gold that lied in that thing. Or we learned and then we unlearned. We had that moment of incredible, intense gratitude and then it went away. This is a story of human history. Every time we get into these moments where all of a sudden it's like our cages are being rattled, our eyes are opened, our ears are to the ground, we're like looking, searching. It's amazing. These are the call signs of thin places all over the place, if we're watching. And they're back there. And now the challenge is to be able to go back and remind yourselves of them. I thought this morning what would be great is if we just took a moment to give you some space to go back in your own memory banks and start thinking about your own highs and lows, your own moments where you maybe experienced this. I'm going to play some music and I'm going to just give you room to think, to ponder. Maybe you already got some coming to your mind, but in case you don't, just ask some questions up here to help you if you don't. Just think about some of these moments. Maybe there's one in particular. What you're feeling. I don't want you to just think about the event, but I want you to think about how it changed you. What impact it had on you. The challenge with these crazy chapters of our lives and the learning and the epiphanies and the moments those thin places can create is that we so easily forget them. It's like they just go away. The children of Israel, the story of the Bible, actually, the people all throughout continually had these powerful moments where they're like, oh, something's going on. And they'd be ripped apart. They'd be challenged in something. Sometimes it'd be an individual, it'd be a group. And they would feel this significant moment and then it would go away and they'd forget. After being enslaved in Egypt for over 200 years, the Hebrew children, they spent another 40 years wandering in the wilderness looking for this promised land that God had told them that they would one day inhabit through Moses. They finally get on the doorstep of the land, and there's this one massive river, the Jordan River. They say at the time that they were about to cross, those banks would have been overflowing with water. But the storyteller in the book of Joshua records that the moment came where they're going to cross the river to enter the promised land, and when the first person dipped their foot into that river, something crazy happened. It's like this invisible wall went up on one side of the river. It was like the water began backing up. It was like this wall of water on one side just started building. And on the other side, the waters kept running down the river. And what happened right in front of them turned into dry ground. The book of Joshua tells us that they walked all the way across on dry ground. No one got wet. And the entire army of the children of Israel went across. And in the process, the storyteller tells us, that God looked at Joshua and he says, I want you to go. I want you to take 12 men, one from each tribe that makes up the entire family. And I want you to go into the middle of that riverbed and I want you to pull up a rock. And I want each of those 12 guys to take those rocks and I want you to build a big pile of rocks where you're going to spend the night tonight. So they did. They went right out in the middle of where that river, rushing river was, pulled up some rocks, and they went and built this big pile. That night, Joshua explained what those rocks were going to be. That's what he said. He said, that pile of rocks is going to be a memorial. One day in the future, your children are going to ask, what's with these rocks? One day, your children are going to come by and see that pile of rocks and go, Dad, like, what the heck? What's that? He says, that's when you're going to be able to tell them the story of this significant moment. You're going to remind everyone, including yourselves, about who I am, about what you mean to me, my commitment to you and your commitment to me. We're going to use this as a powerful reminder of a thin place you guys just witnessed. So you won't forget. Well, if you follow the story of the Hebrew children right throughout the Bible, again and again, it was like they were instructed to find different ways to remember these moments. The rainbows. Rainbows were to be used as a sign, as a reminder of something that God had done for them. They built this ritual called Passover, a series of meals, and a kind of a celebration annually that they were to engage in every year to remind them of a time when things were bad back in Egypt. And their lives of their children were spared. It's to be a celebration. Why? Because you'll forget. That's what they're told. You will forget what just happened. So you must do this thing. Memorialize this moment. When you read these stories, I don't know if you're like me, but I talk to many as they read these stories. It's like they just get so tripped up in the supernatural, the miraculous, the craziness of some of these stories. But really the point, in my mind, when I read through these things, is it was like the challenge for them was to just continually keep looking back and going, whoa, 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 don't forget. Because something happens in the remembering. Something happens every time they relive the moment. They're reminded of all the different ways, the different things that happened, that changed them, that marked them. Call it memorializing. This is kind of a part of our culture here. I watch it with those in recovery, AA groups, hand out little buttons, medallions. Some people keep those real close. They hold on to them, they put them on their desk. In fact, if you talk to someone who's been in recovery, they can almost tell you to the month how long they've been in recovery, when their first day was, how long ago that was. They keep it fresh in their mind. They keep going back to that day because something happens when they go, oh, I know something. I was in this place and something happened and I'm different now. Something happens every time they go back to that. They go, whoa, I gotta be reminded of a time when it was real bad. Something happens in that process. My kid, my oldest son, Jaden, went on this Mexico trip that you probably heard of. Maybe some of your kids are going on this year. He went on it 10 years ago. His first time he ever went in grade 9. And something happened to him. It marked him so deeply. He's been there every year now. Every year will not miss. He's been down there and he started to meet these people, started to see what was going on. Something impacted him so deeply, he said, Dad, I'm getting a tattoo. I said, really? And I had a different vision of this tattoo. This is a bucket of water. Because we talk about taking water. The name of the soup kitchen that we've helped and built down in Mexico is on his arm, up a little higher. Casa El Demente. Every time he sees this bucket of water, it reminds him. This started years ago when I was down there, when I realized the power I have of changing life. And this is going to mark the way that I continually live my life day to day. It's a powerful reminder to just got me thinking about what we do to remind us ourselves of those moments back then where our lives shifted and changed. Those moments when you decided one day, no, you know what? I'm going to be a different kind of person. I'm not going to be that kind of thing. Maybe it was a conversation with someone. I remember it was in grade 7 in a yearbook in my school. Someone made a comment about me being cocky. I hope you're surprised by that. I'm not sure, but I remember being hit so hard by that. Something happened shortly after that. I said, I don't want to be that kind of guy. It's weird that I can remember all that way back, but it kind of became a value in my head where I said, I'm not going to be that. Some of you have gone through a relationship breakup and someone told you something bad went down, and in the process, it changed you in some way. Maybe good, maybe not so good. And then later, you had to fix it. Looking back and being reminded of these moments, going, no, I shifted and changed, and I need to be reminded of that moment back then. What could remind you of your moment? As we sat here this morning, as we took time thinking back to moments in your life, what could you set up as a reminder to take you back there more often than you do? I pulled out minutes from one of our board meetings back in 2008. Pulled it out and set it up in a little frame to keep it close to me. It's a powerful reminder for me. Something great happened through that mess over there. I'm just using it now as this reminder of, no, God came through for me there. I want to close this morning by just asking you, is there something you could do? Is there some kind of reminder, whether it's an annual trip that you would do, a day that you would set aside every year that would mark a significant time in your life when something significant happened in you that brings you back to a place, back to a reminder of who you are, who you want to be, a spiritual moment. I don't know what that could look like, but my challenge to you today is to consider memorializing a spiritual high back there. Because every time you come back to that, it has power to create a thin place moment. I'm going to close. It's one of those weird assignments that if you've experienced the power of a memory, it makes complete sense. I just can't forget that time. And if you have one of those, determine today, think about it this week, what you could do to keep that memory fresh. God, I thank you that I believe you are around us, acting and moving and changing and guiding us. And the challenge is to be able to be aware of it, to see it. But then not to forget those moments. God, help me not to. Help us all this week, God, to be able to look back and experience the power of remembering. Amen. Right on. Well, we're going to close. We're about to experience some great food next door. If this is your first time to come and enjoy one of these things, relax. We're friendly people. We're going to sit around the table. We're going to introduce ourselves to other people. We hope you can come. Even if you come for 10, 15 minutes, or stay for an hour, all right? Come on over. Again, all proceeds will go to Joy Socks. We're looking forward to being able to put some socks on some needy people. Thank you again for being here this week. Next week, we kick off a new series, Watch the details. It's going to be coming up in the announcements online. All right? Have a great week, everyone.